Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know through the word of our Lord Jesus Christ that he has called us into this new covenant with three commands: to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what we do each and every day as the Heart of Christ Church. For our goal in life is to transform lives to the heart of Jesus Christ by loving God, loving others, and going. Because as he has transformed us, so too shall he transform the world until that final and fateful day when he is revealed once again. So in that, may we continue in our walk with him. Today, I have entitled the sermon that we're going to be starting today. We're not going to finish it. I've entitled it, and this whole thing is called, Are You In or Are You Out? And there are so many things that this question asks, and the scriptures that we're going to be looking at truly look at this question in two and three different means. But I could not separate it out. I had to keep it all together because it is the scripture. It is God's word to us. So to that avail, please open your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. We're going to begin in 2 Corinthians. And we're going to be looking at a portion of scripture that many of us know, and we understand some of it in part. But today, I'm hoping to draw a little bit more understanding for each and every one of us. Now, in your bulletins out there, it's a little wrong. It says 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 7. It should say 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 7, 1. Okay? It's a whole chapter we're doing here. And so, It's 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, did I say first? I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm really messing you up. But again, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 1, and we're going to end in chapter 7, 1. And we're going to break this piece up into at least two pieces to begin, okay? That's why I said I'm not going to get through all of this. I look at this, and this is a lot. Jesus is teaching us a lot here through his word, through the apostle. So to that avail, let us turn to the word of the Lord from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in the first verse. Thus saith the word of the Lord. And working together with him, who is him, that is Jesus Christ, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. What is the grace of God that is being spoken of here? Again, we need to understand the context, okay? Now, I'm going to be going back and forth, Pete. I'm not going to be going far. I can't. So when we look at this, that we are to work this together with him who? Jesus Christ. As he is in us, he is working in us. And what is he going to be talking to us about? The grace of God. We need to understand that we can take the grace of God in vain. Well, how do we do that? Well, this is what we're going to find out, because many of us don't understand what it means to take the grace of the Lord in vain. How many of us complain? I got one hand, two hands, three, can I see four, five, six? Yeah, we get the point. We all do. Should we? We'll see about that. From verse 2, for he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Scripture does not lie. Can I get an amen? But, and this is a small but, not a big one, can the word of God mean more than what it simply looks like up front? Yeah. God speaks to us in different levels. How many of you like, when you go to a birthday party and there's a sheet cake out there, it's about that thick and it's got icing. Everybody gets icing, right? But how many of you like when you go to a birthday party and there's a a three-layer cake, and there's three layers of icing inside of there. Yeah, that's my kind of cake, because I like the icing. I like all that good stuff in there. So there's different layers to God's Word. And as we study that Word, it begins to come alive in so many different ways. He says here that at the acceptable time, and then he says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Well, that's the truth. What does he mean by that? Today, where you are now. You see, if you are in Christ Jesus, God does not care what is behind you. What he's looking at is what you're going to do from here forward. Okay? How many of us allow the things of our past to draw us back, and all of a sudden we find we're in a stuck spot? We can't go anywhere because this thing that's behind us keeps coming up and rearing its ugly head. If God has said, I'll remember it no more, why are you? Now is the acceptable time. Now. Not 2 weeks from now. Now. Today. Here. Where we are. We also know that the acceptable time was what? When Christ came. We need to understand. This thing has so many layers, it's just unbelievable. Because what was the acceptable time for all sin to be abolished? When Christ was on the cross of Calvary. Well, when does that happen for you and I? When we finally come to the place of understanding what the cross of Calvary has given us. So that acceptable time has multiplicities of event. But one of the greatest events is right now, where you are today, sitting in this pew or sitting at home watching us on the internet. Wherever you are, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. What is the day of salvation? Well, I want you to think about that. When we think about the folks of the Old Testament, the day of salvation wasn't until the day that Jesus Christ was risen from the cross. Can I get an amen? Because that was the day all sin was forgiven. But what about all that sin before then? It was forgiven in Christ Jesus as they looked forward to it. Well, what about us? We look back. But yet it happens when? Now. This is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you must choose. Today is the day that God will wipe away all the sin that is in your life. How many of you need that every day? Yeah, that's the reality of our Lord. That's why we sang that song, There Is a Fountain. And I spoke of that eternal blood that never stops flowing. That's one of the things that we need to understand. The blood of bulls dries up and goes away. But the blood of Jesus Christ flows eternally. It is alive forever. And it never, ever dies. Because he is life itself. I need you to understand that. As hard as that is to understand. Because didn't Jesus die and then he was resurrected? Yes, that's the truth of it. So when he died, he yet liveth forever. Can I get an amen? And the blood of Jesus Christ affords that to us because even his life was in what? The blood. And that blood still flows today. So today is the day of salvation. So let us not take the grace of the Lord in vain. Don't forget what it has cost you. Understand. Don't throw it away. And the evil one's going to do a whole lot of stuff to get you to doubt whether or not you're actually in that flood. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, all you have to do is repent of that doubt and it's washed away because it has come under the flood yet once again. Can I get an amen? And as we understand what this means, the levels that God has put on here, because God knows every one of us, we're all going to walk out of here. We're going to turn left. We're going to turn right. We're going to get out here on this road that's kind of slick and slippery. And somebody's going to pull out in front of us and we're going to be praising Jesus. Yeah, you all know what I mean. You ought to see the smirks I'm getting back. You ought to, that's cute. But we all know exactly what I'm talking about. How far does it take us to fall? 1 second outside of Christ. Can I get an amen? It's not even a second, it's a millisecond. Because that's how quickly life comes at us. That's how much we are pervasively inundated with evil in our world. Because evil rules this world. The prince of the air is all around us and all his minions. And folks, We have a sin nature that we're fighting every day. How many of us are perfect? I know I'm close, but... Oh. When we see ourselves in the mirror every morning, how many of you got up this morning, got your shower, brushed your teeth, and looked in the mirror? Yeah. We know who we are, don't we? You can fool a lot of people. You can put all the mask on that you want to put on, but when you look in the mirror, you have to deal with yourself. Each and every one of us does. And if we're going to deal with ourselves in truth, it's understanding this is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time. From this moment forward, I've got to stop taking the grace of the Lord in vain and walk in the goodness thereof, walk in the grace that He's giving me. I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name. Can you see the songs now? Can you understand? This is what we need to sing every day as we're going forward. Why? Why? Verse 3. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in genuine love. In the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left hand, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. What did Paul just do here for each and every one of us? He showed us the duplicity of our lives, that we have all this bad stuff that's going to come at us, but we need to remember all the good stuff that God has for us. For in the midst of tumult, in the midst of beatings, in the midst of all these things that are going to come at us to afflict us and to affect us in hardships, we have the goodness of God there to empower us unto the betterment. Can I get an amen? We need to understand, when the bad stuff comes, don't grumble. Get down on your knees and thank God that it's here, because He is literally purifying us like much refined silver or much refined gold. He is working out our salvation with us, in us, for us. To me, one of the most amazing things, and I'm telling you right now, I'm 62, and it took me a long time to figure this out. The more stuff I go through, the more blessed I'll be if I walk with God through it. Rather than thinking about me and what this is costing me, if I think about what it cost Him, and I'm still alive, and I still get to keep going, all of a sudden I realize, Lord, You've given me the power to get through this, to be a better man than the man I was. And in that, help make this life a better place, where people will come to me or look at me. And how many of us sit around and we talk about all the bad stuff? We all do it. Every one of us sits at the table at lunchtime, and the guy next to you that's eating his sandwich, and he's telling you how bad his wife is, or the lady over here telling you that, you know, she went to the grocery store and that person was so rude to her. And you know, it all goes around. We all know it. But what do we do as Christians? Do we play into that, or do we come out of it? Are you in or are you out? And we're going to look at that in another sense here in just a little bit. But Paul's telling us here that we have the power of God. We have the strength of God, that we have the the oration of the Holy Spirit within each and every one of us to bring about the hope, the glory that is only God's. But we've got to apply it to ourselves before we can apply it to anybody else. You know, that's one of the things I used to tell my mom. You know, how many of you used to get in trouble when you would talk back to your mom? You don't ever talk back to your mom, right? Well, I didn't learn my lesson the first time, so it took me several. Because I can remember my mom telling me, you're going to do this and this and this, and I'd look at her and I'd say, but you don't do that. I'm your mother. One of the best ways you can get somebody to do what you want them to do is do it yourself, for yourself. Because now you have an integrity where they see you're working. They see the grace of God in you, working with you and through you. Sometimes it takes us to get a little bit of white hair before we understand some of that stuff. But we all get there one way or another. Now, I know some of you are fakers. You got to put that dye in there. You don't want anybody to know that you've gained wisdom. But we all have to grow up to mature unto the fullness of Jesus Christ. So as you're walking this life and you are dealing with these things that come into your life, please understand and know God has another purpose for it. The purpose is not to get you down, but to raise you up, to show you the hope that we truly have, and to show our world that very same hope through you. Because as we look at this and we say, hey, wait a minute, I am not of this world. I'm simply in this world. Do you see how this question takes on another connotation now? Because when I am in Christ, I am out of this world system. So we've got to literally unplug ourselves. Are you in or are you out? Are you in the world system or are you out? Are you in Christ's system or are you out? And I hate to tell you this, but we often live our lives like a light switch. Yeah, I'm in now. Oh, I'm out. I'm in now. Oh, I'm out. When we get a little bit of trouble, a little bit of discourse, we get a little bit of pains and aches, okay? And all of a sudden, it's like, man, I don't understand this. I'm not going to deal with this. And we turn our back on the Lord for a day or two. Maybe it's even just 20 minutes, but I'll guarantee you right now, that's the 20 minutes that you don't want to do. Because that's 20 minutes of your life wasted. How about when it goes a week? How about, you know, husbands and wives? How many of you have ever had a knockdown, drag-out fight where you ain't talking to each other for 2-3 days? You walk down the hall and you just look at each other and grunt. Ain't never been there, right? We all know it. But are we going to get through it? Are we going to grow in it? And are we going to understand, hey, this person I love is having a hard day. I had one too. Why do I want to take my stuff out on her? She didn't do anything to deserve what I'm giving her. And of course, she needs to understand I didn't do anything to receive what she's given me. So let's put this stuff away and get out a jar of icing and put it on top of the cake and make it just a little bit sweeter. What's that jar of icing? That's the word of the Lord. That's the hope of Jesus Christ. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, when we start walking in the will of the Lord, when we understand now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation, that's for each and every one of us at every moment of time. You know, how many of you think you're fully saved? No, you're not. Are you saved? Yeah. But are you fully what you're going to be when we get to heaven? No, we're all a work in progress. Isn't that our mantra? I mean, you know, I think about that all the time. All of us are a work in progress. So let's progress. Let's look at these things. Let's not take the grace of the Lord in vain. But when evil comes, when bad times come, look around. You know, I had a wonderful teacher that taught me one time, way back in the years when I was in high school, and you messed up. And he said to me, when you mess up, don't just jump up and go at it again. When you're down there, look around. See what got you down there. Recognize it. learn something while you're there, and then get up slowly. You know, I don't know about you folks, but I've already done what I call a knee-jerk reaction, where you've fallen down and you go to get up, and the next thing you know, you're banging your head on something you didn't see because you weren't paying attention. Did you ever do that? Yeah, about puts you back down on your knees again, especially when you're in a 5-foot-high crawl space with 8-inch timbers above your head. Yeah, it'll put you right down. And life has a way of doing that to us if we don't look around, if we don't take the moment. Remember, God wants us to slow down. Look at Him. What's going on? How did you get here? And see where you are. What brought you to this place? And what can I learn while I'm here? And then stand up. But you're only going to be able to stand up in the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. Because if you are down there and you are just looking at this stuff and it's going to keep you down, it's only when we look back to Jesus Christ that we can literally, truly begin to stand back up, because it's His power, it's His grace that is being poured out upon us. Because this world wants to keep us down. And as Christians, we cannot stay down there. We have got to look at our lives and ask ourselves the question when we go through these times, am I in? Am I all in on Jesus Christ? Or am I out right now? And it's being honest with ourselves and being able to say, you know, no, right now I'm out. I'm having a bad moment. Lord, I need to sit here in this for a minute with You and ask forgiveness and work on this with You. And now I can step myself out. But then do yourself a favor, don't go back into it. When you finally come out, don't go back to it. Move forward. Move forward. Do something different. And walk in a way that is right before the Lord. When you and I start going back and back and back and back, this is not the acceptable time. This is not the moment of salvation. Because we're learning this lesson all over again. Can I show us that in history? How long did Israel walk around Mount Sinai? Yeah, Chuck goes, 40 years they walked around that mountain. Because they just wouldn't learn their lesson. And an entire generation had to pass because of their sin. And then God let them go in to this new place. Because now their hearts were renewed. They didn't remember a whole lot of what God had done. Because number one, they hadn't taught one another. They hadn't followed through with everything. And that goes to show just what truly an unrepentant heart can do. It can keep you out of the promised land. It can keep you out of God's promises entirely. And then He's got to train up a whole new generation. And how easy is that to train up a whole new generation? Everything that was is lost. I want you to think about our nation right now. Where are we with all this stuff? You know, we think about all this DEI stuff that came across our nation. We think about all this other stuff I don't even like to name. And yet, there's still a semblance of what was. How many of us remember what was? We remember. And it's only because we remember that we're going to be able to move forward through this stuff. But that means the work's yet to be done. Doesn't mean it's finished because, you know, hey, we got an election and this has changed and now we can all sit back on our laurels. No, those of us who remember need to get to work. Because we've got to teach this generation that doesn't know that way. Because they have been taught in the way of the world. And they are in the world system, and we've got to help to bring them out of that world system. That's what your life and my life is all about in Christ Jesus, is helping to get others out of that system. We were once in it, and God brought us out. Can we get an amen? And when we see just how important that coming out is, you know, I think it's funny because, you know, the LGBTQ people, they all coined that phrase, oh, I'm coming out, and it became a bad thing. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it's a good thing in Christ Jesus, When you come out of the world system and into the system of Jesus Christ, that's the system of freedom. That's the system of hope. That's the system of salvation. For this is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. And we begin to live anew. And that's what this is all about as we start to look at where we're going here. Because Paul here is getting ready to change the discourse. Okay, we are just about halfway through, just a little over halfway through, and all of a sudden Paul's going to change the discourse on us here because he needs us to understand where we are first. He needs us to see that we are either in Christ or we're out of Christ because he's getting ready to take us back into the world in another manner. And he wants us to understand what God's talking about here because this is where people get tripped up. From verse 11, it says, "Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own afflictions. Now, in a like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Baal? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what argument has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Amen." When we look at these words, there are so many different things that the church has used to become separatists in this world, to become isolationalists in this world. Because, oh, I'm no longer of the world, I'm simply in the world, so I can't be like those people and I can't be around them. Well, excuse me, didn't Jesus eat with sinners? Didn't he go into their homes and fellowship with them? Yes, he did. Well, but now wait a minute, Pastor. It says that we're not supposed to be bound to these people, that, you know, we're supposed to come out from among them. Folks, this is talking very spiritually and in some aspects physically. How many of us know that there are people out there that were in our past that we cannot associate with anymore because of our weaknesses, and they won't come out of those things. So it's not healthy for us to be there. Jesus is saying come out from among them, but Jesus is also saying to do this spiritually, that we are no longer to partake of the darkness, we are no longer to be part of those things, but yet they're in our world and we're in this world and we need to help others come out. So unless you're willing to walk in this world in a manner where you're not involved with anybody but fellow Christians, and I'll guarantee you all Christians are messed up, what good are you? We need to understand the depth of this appointment. Yes, pastors use this scripture because I can tell you right now, I will not bring together a believer and an unbeliever in marriage. Won't do it. Okay, will not do it. I cannot do it. If I do, I'm going to be judged on that, and I'm not going to be judged on your behalf. That's simply the truth of the matter. As a minister of God, I cannot break what he is telling me. If you love me, you will do everything I have commanded you. I love the Lord. And that's simply the way it is. So there are things that I won't do because I won't make that bind for folks. But does that mean that I can't be in that presence of that couple if they do get married? No, not at all. In fact, I want to be in their presence. I want to pray for them. I want to be the example of Christ. Because how do we know who we're going to save? If you're not involved in the world, you can't save anybody. Number one, you and I can't save anybody anyhow. I like that. Yeah, Matt got it. You ain't saving anybody anyway. But God can use me towards that goal, can he? And that's the reality that he wants from each and every one of us, to be used towards the goal of the very salvation that we received, that free gift would be received by others around us. Because we are the example thereof. The grace of God not taken in vain. Can you see it? Because as we work with these people, it's not separating yourself that, oh, look at them. And then we get this reputation of, well, they're such hypocrites. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, the Church of Jesus Christ is filled with hypocrites. Because we're broken. We won't be non-hypocritical until Jesus makes us that way when we see him in the fullness of his face when we're in glory. But we're to be a work in progress. Can I get an amen? And that starts where? Today. Now is the acceptable time. This is the day of salvation. This is where it changes for us. So come out from among them. That means don't be those things anymore. If you were robbing from somebody or stealing from somebody, don't steal anymore. If you were gossiping, don't gossip anymore. If you were back-talking and bad-lipping people, stop. Walk in the goodness of Jesus Christ. Find the good attributes of these people. And find the good attributes of yourself. Because when you walk in those things, you're a miserable person, aren't you? I can't stand myself when I get into that stuff. And it's so amazing because as Christians, we're quick to point it out for others. As my sis out there who's watching us on YouTube right now, well, she's laughing because she knows I'm getting ready to talk about her. There's always three fingers pointing back at you when you're pointing one at somebody else. Got to double check yourself. No, you got to triple check yourself. Because that's where we are. And the evil one knows it. Oh, he knows it. Oh, he knows it. And he is going to throw it up in our faces and we're going to doubt whether we're saved. We're going to doubt whether all this stuff is real. We're going to doubt. We're going to doubt. We're going to doubt. Is it okay to doubt? Yeah. Yeah. Because that's working it out. It's not that we don't believe God. It's that we don't believe we are capable of ourselves. Do you see the difference? I'm not doubting God. I'm doubting me. But then I have to remember something. And this is the cool part because this is the last verse. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's why I kept that in there, because it literally ends this last piece. I love how they put the numbers in the Bible. You know, the Bible has no numbers in it from its original writings. We just did that to kind of break it up to make it a little bit easier to understand. But if you look at it literally, you know, and I mean literally, verse 1 in chapter 7 belongs with this last piece. Would you all agree with me? Yeah, it does. Because God is finishing it here. Paul is giving us the ending to this piece, and yet it moves on. But he's telling us here, you know, hey, folks, start with you, not somebody else, okay? The grace of God begins where? The taking of the grace of God in vain begins where? In you. Because God dwells in us. Didn't we just read that? That we are now his temple? That he will dwell in us? That he is going to be with us and among us? That's the reality of who we are and where he has us. Each and every one of us needs to understand this stuff's going to come at us. I'm going to tell you right now, y'all are going to go to work tomorrow and you're going to have to deal with what I'm teaching you today. And you're going to say, oh, Pastor Rich just talked about this yesterday and I failed. So look around while you're down there. Realize what got you down there. repent thereof. And if you need to speak repentance to the people that you were down there with, do so. That's one of the greatest ways of not taking the grace of God in vain, is showing sinners that you need it. Can I get an amen? I hate Christians that tell me they don't sin. That's a harsh word to say, but that's the truth. I have been in church after church after church where I'll be talking with somebody and we're talking, and God help us, it's generally the more mature people in age that say these things to me. Oh, I've been a Christian for 53 years. I'm not a sinner. Well, you're not a Christian either. You just said that. Because if you deny that you are a sinner, you have nothing to do with God. How dare you say that? I didn't say it. He did. Suck it up, cupcake. But you can't say that to a sister who's 15, 20 years older than you. But I just did. Are you going to hear me? You know, it's amazing. When I think about where we are and what it means, do you realize that means I can speak to a Christian pretty harshly? Do you realize that means that I should be able to rebuke a fellow brother or sister in Christ? But then, those who are more mature than me can rebuke me. Can I get an amen? Oh, but you're the pastor. Folks, that doesn't mean anything. Before all things, every one of us is what? A sinner saved by grace. We all mess up, every one of us. So let us not take the grace of the Lord in vain, but let us come out from those things of this world and let us come into the things of Christ. Let us come into the grace of God and out of the vanity of self. Do you see how this question plays a lot into what we're doing here? Now, next week, I want to finish this, because next week I'm going to take it to that level where I want us to see what Jesus is talking about. And we're going to look at these other scriptures here from the book of Psalms, because this is all the way back in the Old Testament, folks. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And this is something we need to understand. God goes all the way back, and then He brings it all the way forward once again. Because this is something that as we get to the end times, as we get to the day that Christ is revealed and the church is raptured, it's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher to be this person that does not take the grace of the Lord in vain. Because the evil one is going to do everything he can. He's going to affect us emotionally. He's going to affect us spiritually. He's going to affect us financially. He's going to affect us physically. Because he can. Because we are human. Because we are alive. And because we are in this world, but yet we are out of this world in Jesus Christ. For we are now kingdom people. Can I get an amen? And that's what we need to remember. Now is the appropriate time. Now is the day of salvation. I don't care what's happened in the past. What God cares about is what you're going to do from here forward. Pray with me. Father God, we come to you today. And Lord, we ask you to help us answer the question, are you in or are you out? Lord, over this next week, allow us to ponder just this one chapter and what it means to us, and to help us gain insight into what you're telling us, how to live our lives and truly be those who see the opportunity that we have to be as Christ in this world. And Lord, I pray for each and every one who right now is wondering to themselves, am I in or am I out? That, Lord, you would impress upon their hearts that all it takes is understanding, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. May they call upon your name. May they hold on to the garment of your hem of your garment, and may they walk in the power that is given them through the sacrifice of Jesus the Christ, who is our Lord. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.